crack the pages, break the spine on the Book of Nora. We are going to be talking about the Leftovers series finale today on the AfterBuzz TV Leftovers After Show. I have so many things to say. The panel has so many things to say, but you're going to hear me say one thing a lot. Called it!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh my God. Welcome, everybody. I wanted to open with the piano again, one last time. As we say farewell to the Leftovers, you guys, it's the Leftovers After Show!
I don't think this is our last show. Just don't feel that way.
I feel like the guide on the internet tells us this is our last show.
In my gut, though.
There might be a surprise.
I mean,
we can always just keep talking forever.
We could just show up right, here next guys. Week and check in.
I'm your host, Zach Wilson. We don't have time to waste, guys. There's so much to talk about. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. The whole panel's here. Roxy Stryer.
Hey, guys. I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. This is the most perfect finale that ever was. I'm absolutely obsessed with it. I don't want to hear any crap from anybody. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Kelly McEnery. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
And I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's KAUFMANN.
Unless the second end.
I'm still.
We got these leftover cookies, by the way.
Yeah.
Cookies have
my
no.
girlfriend sent me to the studio. She's like, take these cookies. They're leftovers cookies.
Ayo.
Anyway. We already all started reacting. Just by breathing.
Yeah.
our breaths were reactions. I loved this finale so much in a way that I didn't think was possible.
It was perfect. It was perfect. Everything that I wanted answered was answered, and nothing was answered, and Steve read me that synopsis, and it was perfect.
The synopsis for this episode, for those who don't know, it was, first you'll know, or I should just pull it up.
Yeah, word for word.
While you pull it up, Kelly, what did you think?
I thought it was good. I was expecting them to like leave something out or surprise us, but it was like a great, like period to a great finale to the series.
The synopsis to this episode is: nothing is answered, everything is answered, and then it ends.
How good is that?
If you hit the info button on DirecTV, that's all it'll tell you.
And that's exactly
probably
what it was.
Great.
Nothing happened. Everything happened.
Yeah.
It was all answered. Nothing was answered. And then it was over.
Two of those three things were what they alluded to in season 3, episode 1. Where Kevin... I've departed from the show so
Justin
quickly.
Theroux?
Yeah, Justin yeah. Theroux had this feel. Kevin was talking to Matt, and he was just, so you're saying that on the 14th or 15th, nothing happens unless everything happens. And it's just that weird idea that it's going to be nothing, then everything, then end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're going to go through the whole episode. We're going to get into everything that happened with Matt and Nora at the top. We're going to talk. Like, we'll talk about Kevin. We're going to talk about Lori and everything that quick moment implies, and that ending. Yelling my theory about the alternate Earth with a 98%. Three seasons on this podcast.
And you may be right, and you may not be right still.
And it's perfect that way.
And it's amazing.
But just the fact that the show, like, picked that theory to be like, that's the one that we are, like, maybe confirming. I'm so happy.
I agree. All of the agreements. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay, let's go back to what I'll say is present day. "Quote unquote mm-hmm. Nora," which I mean
Nora with the gray hair.
No,
October 15th, 2018, which is what her newspaper said.
Yes.
Oh, present day, not
like
future.
This season's yes. present day. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
It's hard to say because like this episode was very rooted in yes. future Nora, but mm-hmm. like by present day, I'm just saying this season's present.
Nora, not Sarah.
Nora with the short hair.
Yes. I love, like, just the interaction, like, with Matt was a beautiful goodbye.
I need Matt Libs every day of my life.
The chat specifically asks, do you like Matt now?
I thought this was the most I've ever liked Matt, and it was because he was letting somebody else make decisions about their own life, which I feel like he doesn't do very often. And no, do I think that if you think that somebody's about to, you know, go through this and you believe that they're committing suicide, do I think you should just let them do it? No, but I don't think that's what he believed. I feel like he stood by his sister. He supported her. He did what she wanted, and he just didn't push himself on her. And that was the coolest thing that I think Matt could have done.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was a Matt that had a lot of his faith and understanding tested by both the cancer coming back and meeting David Burton on that boat.
Yes.
That I think the Matt, prior to those two things, the Matt at the very beginning of this season would have absolutely stopped Nora. Like, kicking, screaming, had her committed without question.
Yeah.
And Nora, at the beginning of this season, would have absolutely undeniably stopped Matt had the situation been reversed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's interesting that this is where we ended.
I mean, Matt, the transformation that Matt had within the last, like, four or five episodes has been so amazing to watch. Like, whether you believe that David Burton, through the hand of God, like, made him a different person, or just that the idea of him questioning what his faith has over this man's faith and this man's beliefs. Like, he believes he's God. I have no proof to the contrary. He has no proof to the contrary that my beliefs are wrong. Was that all it took to change Matt and make him revert him and Nora, like, his relationship with Nora back to, like, much closer, I think, to the closest they've been in years since they were children, it seems.
Yes.
I do love the Matt Libs.
The Matt Libs. The obituary Matt Lib was perfect.
Such a Nora move.
She says, what are you going to tell people? And he says, whatever you want me to. That's everything she's ever wanted. It's just him to support her and stand by her.
And to the show's credit, they leave it ambiguous of whatever she actually wants.
Right.
That we don't actually know what she told Matt to tell people. Mm-hmm. And if we were to believe Kevin and everything that happens later, we don't actually, like, he didn't say very much other than she died. Like, she never came back from Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. but then, so she gets in to she goes machine. Through.
Well.
Whatever going through means, whether it means she got to the other side or not, she goes through the process.
I think maybe. Okay, here's what I believe. Well, no, not what I believe, but here are the options. One of a few things happens.
Yeah.
Number one, she goes through the machine and she gets to the other side, like the story we hear at the end, and then she came back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, which seems like she's mouthing out, stop. Or no, or something, as she throws her head back, they do stop, she gets out of the machine, and she lives the rest of her life. Or she gets in the machine, she goes through, but what that means is she ends up in, like, an alt-reality state.
Or heaven, or some type of consciousness.
And she never actually came back.
Some type of consciousness and where we
see her is that
explain.
Place. So I think it's one of those three things.
Option two seems hard to explain because Matt's still there. A, Matt's still there, and B, they make a good point to tell us that that liquid's really hazardous.
You were saying that she was able to say stop doesn't seem
or
likely.
Even if she said stop and they actually charge the machine down and don't zap her with it, it sounds like the liquid they're giving her is so bad that if it got into her lungs or she just was exposed to it for a prolonged period of time, she would perish. So option two feels like she just dies.
But
it didn't reach her mouth, right?
Right, it didn't reach her mouth.
She didn't ingest it. She would have absorbed if it was like chemically, like, if it was like arsenic.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, she would have absorbed enough of it just through other, like wounds or any openings in her body. Like, it would have hurt her. Regardless, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case. There are metals in that,
yeah.
But like, a few minutes in a poisonous liquid is not going to necessarily give you metal poisoning.
But I do think, and even Matt still being there is irrelevant because, like she said, we said our goodbyes. That doesn't necessarily mean that he believes that she's dead. He might have watched her get out of this machine and
just
said his goodbyes.
Yeah. And said their goodbyes, and then she wandered into the outback.
Exactly.
Okay.
And because of, well, we'll talk about the end of the episode a little later, but because of where the flashbacks stop during Nora's story, it leaves it super ambiguous to us. Because it's not like she's saying, I went to this other place and we're seeing flashes of it. We only see flashes until we know that it stopped right there and it went blue. It's not the that I believe. But it is an option. It's not the one I believe either.
This is why this episode was such a perfect finale for this show is because they gave everybody whatever mode you came to the show with, whichever mode you've favored throughout the series, this feeds every single one of them in a perfect balance where everyone is going to come away with their own take on how they read this,
right?
There are people. I've definitely seen people in the chat who are asking for confirmation. They confirmed that she went to this alternate Earth and that it's all really true.
No,
and it's like sort of, but not really.
She confirms it, and it's a matter of whether you believe her.
Yeah.
But we didn't see it.
Yeah,
so we don't know. And if you believe that Lori is dead, in fact, it does not confirm that she went to this alternate universe.
It would confirm
that that she probably did not, or she's somewhere and she's stuck there.
Or she's in an afterlife and everyone she sees is dead, and that's why it takes 20 years for her to see Kevin.
Right.
Like, that's part of the third theory, that she dies and or her consciousness leaves that place. Mm-hmm. And it's the afterlife, it's in her head, none of us will ever actually know.
When I was watching this episode, I spent, I think, the first 30 minutes of it believing we were in Nora's hotel.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I had that feeling too for a little bit because it was too obscure with the doves and the bike and it's like, what are we doing here? What is this place? But then I don't believe we were.
No. I even thought we were when we saw Lori with the baby because I was like, oh, maybe that's the baby that she had.
And is that based on the ending?
I had the same thought.
Based on the ending story, is that Jill's baby?
My fear is that's Jill's baby because that would have been contextually the only one that would – contextually within the narrative of the world that Sarah would be a part of, that was the only baby mentioned that would have made sense for Lori.
Yeah. Though I do think they were intentionally trying to give us that moment.
Because then it's she's somewhere where Lori and the baby who departed are at. But then how would that make any sense? Because if the baby departed 8 years ago and it seems like it's been a longer time than that, that baby would be an adult.
Two-part question. Number one, do you guys think that if Lori knew where Nora was all this time, she was in the right for not telling Kevin? That's the first part. Do you guys think that she was in the right?
I think so. I think because, how they ended things, I was kind of... It was Nora's decision to be like, don't tell him where I am, you know? And she just listened to...
I think it's a little stubborn, but Nora can be pretty stubborn.
Yeah.
I agree, it's stubborn. Should she have... that's something that I think is 100% up to her. I don't think she is beholden to Kevin after what happened in the hotel. But, it's the kind of thing where I would hope that if I was with somebody that they would tell me. But I also don't think that it is something that...
They had to.
That she had to do.
Mm-hmm. It's not like they had any kids or anything, you know?
That changes. Kids changed the equation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These were two people. They were not married. They were together for a few years. And you would hope that she would want to tell him, but I'd say it's up to her. Roxy, what do you think?
I think it's messed up. I think it is. And I know that it's confidentiality and all this stuff, but if she truly knew, if Lori is next door neighbors with Kevin and for the last 20 years for his 2 week vacation, she knows that Kevin is looking for Nora, for her to say absolutely nothing.
Oh, you're saying for Lori to not tell Nora.
I misunderstood your question too. I thought you meant why Nora didn't contact Kevin.
No, I'm saying why Lori didn't tell
Kevin.
Kevin.
Yeah.
That Nora, okay. Or that Or that Lori didn't tell Nora that Kevin was looking for her.
Right.
Which she has to have known.
Do you think she did?
If every year you're
they're neighbors.
If every year your next door neighbor and ex-husband went to Australia for two weeks. Maybe 5 years he'd get away with it and just come up with different places. You'd eventually know he was going to Australia.
Lori, especially of all people. Yeah. Like other people, like if it was John that we were talking about, like I'd be like, oh yeah, John probably didn't bother him that much. He just bought whatever story.
So does that change your opinion though? Do you think she's in the wrong?
Yeah, I misunderstood your question. I thought you were talking about Nora. Nora, I thought was under, assuming she had been there the whole time, like had was under no obligation to contact Kevin or
especially the way
reach out to him.
The way Lori, things ended.
I think, I would hope that she, that's a much tougher situation because you're dealing with two people going through crises in their lives and you can't not, both of them, what both people have asked for, they can't both have.
Okay.
So she betrays one of them, no matter what. If she betrays one of them. It's a lose lose.
I think she also just wanted to see if it was meant to be. It was meant to be. If she knew that Kevin was looking for her for Nora, then maybe she's just like, let's see if they find each other again.
Hmm. And then the next part is, what was this show trying to state with Lori and Nora's relationship? Because it was almost, there was almost no relationship for so long, and now all of a sudden, they're seemingly each other's confidants, or at least Lori's
her
therapist
yeah. from the dollar,
but that doesn't actually, she did that just so that Nora
I think that was a bond of,
depends what version you're living
in. I feel like I'm living the Book of Nora. Where that everything she says is true.
Okay. Yeah.
That I think they became friends, confidants, and to a certain extent, an official therapist patient. By that adventure they went on two episodes ago.
Hmm.
That's my theory of why they communicate, and that specifically why Lori's not telling Kevin anything, and why about Nora, and then why Nora's not telling. You know,
it's all very interesting. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, the big question with Lori and like. It's one of those, like, it's such a tough, like, thing to have to, like, deal with now. It's like, okay, I feel like we got, like, a lot of hate when we were like, I don't know if Lori killed herself with the scuba diving. And people were like, no, she definitely. And then,
Amy Brennerman all but said she was dead.
Yeah.
That was also me. But I was like, she definitely killed herself, right?
But was that a swerve? Because she knew this was coming.
I mean, that's always a good thing when you're going to do any kind of character death. There are different ways to bring characters back from the dead. Some are good, some are bad. But, like, I very much appreciate when a show will lean into it because they know we look for patterns. They know we know that if that's her last episode that there would be special interviews with her about her time on the show.
Right.
So they have to do those steps. In terms of creating a show experience, they have to do that if they're going to truly play that fake out.
And that was her last full episode. She only appeared very briefly in this episode.
Yeah.
That could have just been part of it on like a pure PR side. Like, well, that's the one she's going to want to talk about. I think that goes to one of the three options. If you believe that Nora is in some type of afterlife because she died by getting zapped by that thing and what we saw was the afterlife, then of course Lori's there. If you believe that exactly as she said, as I do, then you have to just believe that she's alive. Or that you have to just believe that Lori didn't kill herself.
All right, so let's all say, which of the three paths are you guys following as of this point? Obviously, we're going to have to watch this 15,000 more times throughout our life, and it might change where you are in your life at that moment. But as of now, Kelly, what do you think?
I think she did. I'm just going to listen to her and believe her. I think she did go and come back. Just because it sounds like the best possible scenario, even though it's the saddest because she saw them and then she's like, I don't want to be here.
My heart. But also that she didn't meet them. She went that whole way to meet them and then never showed up.
That's the one you believe, too, for sure.
It seems like a Nora thing to do. too. I feel like to just see them and be like, I'm not gonna meet.
I'm gonna let
well, even so, like, Noah. Even so, it, like, it's a Nora thing. Like, even whether she created it in her own mind, she would have still had the same behavior. Yeah. But
oh, you think that there's a possibility that she's telling the story because she really believes it happened?
Well, I think that that's that, one of the options.
Yeah. You think it's option? Yeah,
that's one of the like. Those the two options that I saw, like when like immediately was like she believes this to her core, but that doesn't mean that it's real. Yeah,
that it's option essentially option two, that she didn't get zapped in any way and she's not dead.
Yeah.
Or she doesn't believe it and she's telling this to Kevin, because earlier on in the episode we have her saying, "I don't lie," and the woman calls her out on something she did lie about.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's so. What do you think, Zach?
I lean on that she really went. I think, but and this is where it's interesting because it's this is where it becomes a question of faith. Do you have faith in Lori's story?
In Nora's. Just like,
thank you. do you have faith in Nora's story? Do you have like just like any story that we've been told, whether you picked up the Book of Kevin or the Bible, or you got a hug from Holy Wayne. Or you believe that Nora went through to this alternate Earth, called it, and came back. You are taking it all on faith. No one, not a single one of those things that I listed has any evidence to back up the claims, other than like what they say happened. And so you have to take it on faith, and I want to believe that she got through, because that's like where my brain is. It's the science-y way for this show to be, instead of just the like purely like what we see in front of us. It's the exciting science version of this show, and so that's what I want to be real. But I have no evidence to
zero.
Well, this is a good point from the chat, Dr. Arwen. Nora isn't a believer. She requires proof, so she wouldn't be able to tell the story if she hadn't experienced it.
Unless she could. Well, there's that kind of thing where if she stops that thing from being, like, she verbally, like, stops the thing from happening, so that the rate, like, I don't think we finished clarifying. Like, when the liquid goes in there, what makes it solidify is the radiation that they send through it. The liquid itself doesn't solidify. They have activate it.
Right.
So they could have drained it out, and even if it was mildly poisonous, she would have still survived.
And it would have caused maybe a little redness or irritation to her skin.
Or maybe even an infection that she would have had to go to the hospital for.
And she would have had to have a second goodbye with Matt.
Yes, and that could have easily been the goodbye she was referring to. But it wouldn't have just solidified by filling up there. It's not like hard shell chocolate syrup.
we really only have that on the East Coast.
Wait,
have you
really?
Noticed that? Yeah.
It's a weird world.
Do you know what he's talking about?
Yeah.
No, what is it?
The dip. Okay.
It's like Hershey's syrup, but after you pour it on, after a moment, it just hardens.
Oh, yeah.
We have that with raspberry, too, and like strawberry.
We're off on a weird tangent here, guys.
Same.
Roxy, you still haven't told us how you feel. What do you believe?
I'm just the biggest non-believer in everything, which I hate about myself, but it's also who I am. But I want to believe her story because I feel like she's very similar to me. And I do think she is a trustworthy character. So I'm choosing to believe it. Although I don't know that if I was Kevin, I would 100% be able to buy in. I would definitely have more questions.
I think the Kevin who went to that hotel twice probably knows to just be like, you're here.
Yeah.
You're here. I get it.
Yeah. Well, to finish the thought that I was saying before, I think that what drove her to this point is she goes through that process, pulls the plug on it, and is so either ashamed of herself for not going through with it because like she chose her own safety over seeing her kids again, and that like that she just blocks it out, creates a false narrative in her mind, like that's when she breaks.
Mm-hmm.
That's an option.
Yeah, it is interesting though that episodes ago, weeks ago, they informed us that the creator of this machine went through. And I love that that became that came full circle because she utilized that.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting tidbit that I didn't think we were going to come back to.
One thing everyone's mentioning on the internet right now is, if that guy exists on the other side and built a machine, why doesn't he send the other 2% back to the world of the 98% and make one whole world?
Because they wouldn't believe him the same way that we don't believe him, this world.
I'm posing this from them. I agree.
I know. I'm answering the question.
Also, 2% of the world's population, still like 140 million people. Like, logistically, that's impossible.
Do you think any of them have come back?
It's possible.
Well, after doing the same type of thing on that side. You know, well, same type of scheme.
It sounds like he didn't build one until Nora asked him to.
Right. That's the thing. So no one, if this is the guy that invented it,
they were all
There was no equivalent on the other Earth.
I think only Nora's family was happy. Everyone else was incredibly sad because they lost everyone.
But that's a really good point, and you're making me skeptical again. Because why? Why wouldn't
what was the question? Why
wouldn't he have built this machine to send everybody back?
But that's the thing. Back is relative.
Yeah.
To them.
No, but he knows because he sent himself there.
But that's what. But like, he'd have to get people to believe this.
Yeah, but he did it on this Earth.
This
not
isn't
everybody.
Like Earth one
some,
and Earth
at
two.
At least one. That's what I'm saying. Maybe one person, two person, three people.
The people on the 2%. Why they sent nobody back? Maybe he did, and we just don't know about it.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Or after he built a machine to send Nora back.
I think after he builds it, like, I think it's very possible that, like, in that time, we don't know. There could have been a couple people that came through. He could have sent somebody over. But, like, the question is if he wants to. We don't know this guy and what his motivations for building the machine were.
Mm-hmm.
If he built it because
maybe
he didn't
want to tell anybody. Maybe he didn't tell people that he had done this.
Well, he had to tell them. If he, assuming he didn't build the machine within like a year and a half of the departure, like assuming it took him years, he had to have told he probably went there to find whoever he lost and then stayed there and then told them and then probably told no one else because he'd be, even in the world of the 2%, you'd probably be labeled insane. Also, the timeline seems such that it probably took her close to 10 years to even get to Mapleton. And then probably took her another 10 years to find the doctor and then have the doctor build a machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that this episode, though, you know, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. I love that this is like in when you have a small percentage of the population disappear, you're devastated, you don't know what to do. When Nora talks about going over, she's like, we lost some of them, they lost all of us.
Yeah.
And that really hit home to me.
Just the fact that they're like, there aren't planes in that reality.
There are planes. There are no pilots.
Yeah. Well, there aren't any planes. They're not used.
Yeah.
There's not enough. Either it's that there's not enough people to justify their use because, like,
no, they said there are enough pilots. She said we have all of the resources, but we don't have enough people who can fly them.
It took her days to find a person.
For a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a person, and then it took her she said a really long time to take a boat straight to New York, and said it wasn't straight through. Doesn't sound like a great place. Imagine our world, but only 2% of the people in it.
So do you think, no pilots were...
I'm sure pilots 2%? Exist, and I'm sure planes do take off and land, but I think commercial airfare doesn't exist.
You also would have lost the majority of your...
cabin crew, customers,
infrastructure. You would have lost 90... by just law of averages, you would have lost 98% of trained pilots and air crew... across the world.
Air traffic controllers.
Probably even more than that because the fact that most of those planes probably dropped out of the sky immediately after.
And probably even if you are a pilot and you know how to fly, you're like, what's the effing point? Where am I going? So you stop using it. I love Riley in the chat.
Yeah.
If you are part of the 2%, everyone gets a beach house.
If I were a pilot,
maybe they're just happy there. Maybe they're like, sucks to suck, you other people. We're
Does
living
Does anybody
large.
Else really want to watch the show about this 2% world?
Yes.
Yeah.
Desperately. But I actually have heard people start tweeting, what if part of the 2% world is what happened with the island on Lost? Like, what if... There is a full circle connection.
Everybody
there.
Calm down.
I agree, calm down, but I also am a huge Lost fan, and I loved that in this episode I actually wrote down the quote, and they were talking about Lost. Did anybody else notice that?
Wait, what?
When was it?
It was, wait, I'm going to find it right now.
Because I'm also a giant Lost nerd.
Like to get a little lost, you know?
Oh.
That's what was said. And I was like, yes.
Roxy.
I caught you. I'm grasping at straws for sure.
Yeah, you're reaching a little bit.
I don't care.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
No Jill, no Tommy.
No Jill, no Tommy. But we find out how they like what they happen. Because again, like I think this what happens with characters in the show is basically as soon as they land themselves into a happy place, they're off the show.
Yeah. Yeah, but why is Tommy get a divorce? That was an interesting little tidbit.
Relationships don't work out. I don't think it was anything. It was just like they had two kids. Jill, Tommy also had a lot more dark stuff that he dealt with.
Jill had a lot of dark stuff she dealt with too. I'm a big Jill fan.
Not to diminish what happened to Jill, but Tommy had to kill people. Jill didn't. I don't think ever went through anything to that level of severity.
She was stuck in that refrigerator for quite some time.
Yes. And that would be a scary experience, but like the emotional trauma of
she also made different choices than Tommy did.
Yes, yeah. They're different people, and like it also is just about what partner they wound up with. It's not that either one of them is to blame for anything that happened.
Also, it's the leftovers. Not everybody's gonna be happy. I feel like you know.
And I think Kevin kind of explained it pretty well. Of like he had a job and he'll bounce back. He's Tommy.
Greg says no Jill and no Tommy because they're alive.
Oh, like they're not. They still exist on this plane.
Or no, they might not. Not on the plane that Lori and 20 years later, Kevin with his heart condition and 91-year-old Kevin Sr. and Nora.
So that's true that we don't see them. What I mean is that we.
Matt might have lived.
Old Kevin implies that Jill and Tommy are around in this reality.
Right. He does, but maybe we don't see them because they're not. Maybe Matt. Jill and Tommy are the only survivors.
To pull on the afterlife. To pull on the string that where Sarah and or Nora went was the afterlife. Perhaps it's some type of afterlife where she only meets people who killed themselves. That's why she met Lori. That's why she meets Kevin. What she did in Australia for the nuclear stuff, that's also considered. And all the other people were pretty brand new. As a theory. I believe the book of Nora.
What about the baby, though? The baby killed itself?
Well, we don't know what baby that is.
Yeah. That is how do babies wind up in this mysterious place I just invented.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the baby was inside somebody.
Possibly.
I'm just going off your weird theory I don't particularly believe, but I'm ready to make it work for you, Steve.
Oh, God. I'm just, like, thinking about the alternate Earth, like, Lori's kid. What does that look like?
Oh, yeah.
That's a horrifying image. Sorry. Moving forward. That like popped in my brain. All right. I want to talk about like Kevin, old Kevin, and how like his approach to finding Nora once he does.
Super duper interesting that he just very quickly like pretended to have amnesia.
That's so weird because they were together a few years. Like it wasn't few months, you know.
No, they were like the loves of each other's lives.
Yeah,
that was such an interesting move, and I was so glad when he dropped the act because I'm sitting here thinking, how are we ever going to connect if they can't even talk about what's happened? And so when he finally was like, "I panicked," and that's what I did, I was like, "Oh, yes." Like, I was not expecting that. And that was a really smart move on the show's part.
That's pretty much this whole episode. I was not expecting that, but that was a smart move.
Yeah.
Well played, show. Well played.
Yeah. But I really liked this. It was well written in that, like, it did ultimately feel like something Kevin would do out of sheer panic. And, like, he's also, like, gotten a lot older, so he's a little calmer and smarter. They mentioned he has this heart condition. Do you think, like, I don't know enough about medical stuff that, like, is there something, like, a pre-existing condition that would make you more likely to have heart attacks and cause mental illness?
Or allow you to, my Google Foo could not get me through this, but I'm sure by tomorrow someone will have come up with it if it exists, where there might be something that
I don't believe so.
Possibly explain that he didn't breathe. Like, that there's a heart condition that allows you to not breathe longer. Would mental illness would be an easier way to go. Pure science.
We're trying to figure out the he lived,
I'm trying to figure out the three times where he just
died.
I do love that he implies that he has a scar right here underneath, which is exactly where the scar was in last week's episode.
And there are people in the chat talking of like, well, is this the evil Kevin?
What I will say, and just like the hopeless romantic inside me, is that if we take this story at face value, if this is the actual Earth that we live on, and that she came back, and he for 20 years, for 2 weeks a year, every year, cannot help but look for her, and he's just still, his candle still burns for her. That is literally the sweetest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I couldn't even believe it. Like, that was the most romantic thing of all time. For the show, I felt like that was really hopeful and making a point.
This ending felt hopeful.
It did.
Yeah.
Which, like,
because we are better off than they are.
It is weird for the leftovers, and that this is especially in the first two seasons, was consistently one of the darkest, most dreary shows out there. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a combination of it was just like it's the message that the showrunners wanted to send all along, is that whenever it's like, no matter how dark it seems, there is hope at the end. There's hope on the other side. Mm-hmm. Or maybe a product of like just the year that we're in now, when season three is actually when it was written and when it's being aired, in that like it is a time where we need more hope than we do like adding dreariness to the world. I think it's a combination of the two.
The article from Deadline, I think Kelly, maybe you sent it to us, but I thought this was really interesting. They said to Lindelof, they said, Would that ultimately be the takeaway for the leftovers, that we should just be fucked up together? And he laughed and said, yeah, that was the operating title for the finale before we changed it to Book of Nora. but kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be messed up, might as well do it together.
Yeah.
And there's the people that float together and they soar together, and people who stumble together, but the point is being together. And I think that the show did a really good job, whether this is the afterlife or this life or wherever we are.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I think they were sort of getting at a little bit with the married couple at the wedding.
Yes.
Or the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Loved that speech. Ooh. Like the difference between whether you're not, it doesn't even matter whether you're religious or not. That speech has beautiful implications. The idea of like, you can mess up, you can make mistakes, you can fuck up, but there is a difference between a fuck up and a sin. And
let's
I think it applies to their relationship so perfectly, because I don't think that what they did to each other was necessarily sinful.
They fucked up.
They made mistakes, but they never set out to hurt the other one. They never sinned against
the other. And he did sin with Lori.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
But not with Nora.
I think they were just both kind of selfish. And then they hopefully realized that, because they just kind of cared about themselves and like not hurting the other person, but just like feeling better about hurting the other person, kind of.
If you guys believe Nora went through, or even if you don't, do you guys think she thought that this was going to work or no?
I think she just wanted to try something new. I think she just wanted to...
She thought it would work, or that it was a suicide mission?
I think she thought she'd rather die trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'd rather die trying to see her kids again than live the rest of her life without having tried.
Yeah. And she's not scared of death. I feel like she like always kind of, not that she tried to kill herself like Kevin, but like she like broke her arm and stuff. So I think she just like, fuck it. Like, what else? What do I have to lose? I lost Kevin. Might as well just.
Also, we never saw her pull up her sleeves. Does future Nora still have the Wu-Tang tattoo?
Well, remember, she got it covered with. Oh no, it was her kids' names that was covered with Wu-Tang.
Yeah, she covered the Wu-Tang. She covered her kids' names with the Wu-Tang tattoo. We saw it when she was walking into the nuclear thing.
Hmm. Oh yeah,
it was on her arm. She was wearing long sleeves the rest of the episode. That would have been helpful to know.
Yeah.
That would have been a helpful, cool Easter egg of, like, where is everything?
Yeah. God, yeah. The show was so good. I thought it was just perfect.
I love
your notes. Alternate Earth!
It's in all capital letters with 3 exclamation points. I literally have been shouting that theory for so long. Since, like, we were in a completely different building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach, I can literally say the first day we met was at a pool party this summer. We both started here. And we wound up talking about this show. And I said, I love this show because they're never going to tell us what happened. And you, I remember this conversation really. No, it's going to be something about an alternate Earth, man.
I don't think I ever thought. I will say, I never thought that. Like, that was always my favorite theory because of the implications and, like, the stories of the other side. But it was never, I never expect. This is why I like this finale so much, is that I never expected them to give us that. Well, let me re-clarify that. By the end of season one, I had accepted the fact that they were never going to tell us where they, like, what theory was real or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I got more than I ever hoped for terms of confirmation in this, since season one, because it took a lot of, as a sci-fi nerd, it took a lot of work for me to accept the fact that wasn't what the show's point was.
Couple questions for you guys about different parts in the episode. Can I ask them now?
Please, go for it.
All right, here we go. Number one, what was the deal with the birds not coming back, and why do you think she was so pissed about this nun having sex? It was like a big part of the finale.
Yeah, she was. Well, I think she was trying to. Maybe she was trying to. Like, she was just mad that the nun, like, the simple answer is the nun, like, was the one who tipped off Kevin, and she was just trying to get at her with anything that she could.
Okay.
But as I say that, I don't buy it.
I think the whole point was for us to learn kind of, like, oh, she did lie. Like, how you said in the beginning, how she said, I don't lie. Mm-hmm. Just showing that, like, hey, this is. She could be lying that she went to this other place.
Hmm.
Or to just show us that there's fallacy in her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's a conceit to her, essentially her living in this world, that she sells doves that can only go 50 miles, but sells them under the guise that they're going to go to God.
Another question. Why did Kevin say that he loves Miami and he would have gone? And do we believe that that was a reference to, like, an alt timeline that could have taken place in their lives?
I think
he said yes.
I think that was him redressing what he wished he had done in that moment.
Yeah.
Especially since he spent 20 years searching for Nora. In his true heart of hearts, mind of minds, if he could take back a decision, he'd be like, yeah, I would have really much rather gone to Miami with her than killed Patty, because I think he killed Patty.
Yeah.
Right about that same.
I think he's just thinking about, like, what if he had just escaped with her before their lives went nuts, before Miracle and all of that? Like, what if they had just been able to, like, elope?
That leads me to my next. Why is it just called Jarden now and never Miracle again? Because of the event that took place with the GR?
Because it's not a holy land. Though I think the Park Service is. The Park Service has stopped taking it over.
This is how long after? Like, did they say this was?
They didn't say how. Are you saying, like, the Sarah stuff?
Future, yes, future, 20, alternate timeline, 20, whatever that is.
They never.
20, he said he'd been searching for her for 20 years.
Okay,
so.
Then it's been at least
roughly
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah.
Because I think part of it has to be that. Like, so they built up the first anniversary. Is something going to happen again? And people were, like, nervous for other anniversaries. The 7th was supposed to be the big one. It's been 7 years. It's a biblical number. It has massive implications. Nothing happens, at least in this timeline. It seems that they didn't talk about anything happening.
Unless, timeline-wise, because we were a little confused last week, Nora's actually going through this machine on the anniversary.
Yeah.
And
the newspaper
happened. What did the newspaper say?
Newspaper said 15th.
So, yes.
So it would have been after the flood? Yes.
But the 15th is the 14th is the departure day in Australia.
So she was going through on the departure day And maybe what happened was this. Whatever this is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's the only one that ever... No, she couldn't be. The guy's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another question.
Wait, well... next question.
Next question. How amazing were those love notes? And if you guys had to write one, what would yours have said?
I was going to ask that, too.
They were so good, yeah. Right? They were awesome. The ED one was amazing.
Man, I don't know.
Whatever witty thing I had at the time, probably just kind of...
I would have probably trolled.
Yeah, something like, really? if you're reading this, are you God? Blink twice. Like, something silly.
Huh. You know what? I say that. I probably would have thrown two in the bucket. I would have thrown a troll one. Like, my favorite to write, and I've done this in a few different places, is just, like, write on a piece of paper that's going to be found somewhere, beware the man with green eyes. It means nothing. It's not from anything. I just like the idea of introducing that tiny bit of chaos.
Well, now it's from this.
Where that person is going to find it and, like, meet a man with green eyes and, like, question him.
You guys write in the comments below what you would have written. Hopefully it's better than you guys being creepy AF.
But I say too, because I would have done that, cuz like I'm an asshole comedian. But like but the other side of me, I would have probably written something like patience and love will find you.
Oh. Huh.
That's interesting. Johnny Weeks in the chat says, "I'd say have I lost you?" Do you think Daddy's trying to appeal to me loving lost? That must be it, right?
I'm doing a Lost rewatch right now.
It's so good. It's so good.
Roxy?
I don't know. I figured it out.
Oh, come on.
Figured it
I'm going to press you.
So
I'm pressing you. Pressing you.
Maybe like be good to each other. Something like that. Treat each other with kindness. Remember to smile.
Any other...
Beware my evil twin, yeah.
Love is right behind you, says TVTJ, which is like, where?
Creepy.
Where? Yeah, that's almost scary. Can't it just be in front? It's less threatening. There were a number of like little moments in this. The goat... I thought it was a very interesting idea.
When
like,
did he see the goat sacrifice before? I don't remember that episode.
That was the season 2, episode 1 in Jardin.
Yeah. Oh,
that there was a guy who would sacrifice a goat in the middle of a restaurant every day because that's what he did the day of the departure.
Yeah. And then didn't he do it in the church?
Something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He did it in the church during a meeting or something about. Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That whole thing was deep.
To me, the beads was a very interesting tradition. I imagine something that came out like after, it reminded me of the Rosh Hashanah tradition of you have bread that symbolizes your sins for the year and you throw it in the river to wash it away. Mm-hmm. This was like a very like Fat Tuesday version of it.
It's also bad for the goat that got stuck with the Mardi Gras beads.
Yeah, but he got saved by Nora.
That's true, and she took his sins. Also,
and the birds did come back. Like, they were late coming back.
Leviticus 16:22 is where this comes from in the Bible, of about a goat.
Eupatorus 2, Snape kills Dumbledore. That would be a nice one.
Wow. There will be at least one person that you've spoiled that for.
Hopefully. Ooh. If I spoil that for them, they don't even know what I'm talking about.
Oh, boy. Do you guys have any last thoughts or just like sum ups of your like? How do you feel about The Leftovers? Let's do that. How do you feel about the show The Leftovers now that it is done? Big question.
I think it's some of the most. I'm not going to say the perfect television show, but it is one of the most perfect dramas I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, I think it's like a very unique story and how they went about it and told it in like different ways, like how it was such a how different it went from season 1 to season 2, but it still ended like great. Like I hate when shows don't end with everything.
Yeah.
And it really gave like a great like we're done, you know?
It actually stuck the landing.
Yeah, and the performances were, like, killer. Everybody, just incredible acting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it's the most underrated show of all time, but simultaneously, you have to be a very specific kind of person to appreciate the show, which luckily we are. And I made a list this week, and this makes my top three shows of all time.
What's your other ones?
My other ones are Lost and Friends.
Lost is also in there for me. This show, I haven't done the math yet, but I can safely say that this broached my top five TV dramas of all time.
So good.
It is rounded. It is complete. It is a full story in three seasons, in 30 episodes of television. They managed to tell a story that had everything it was supposed to have. It never felt like there was filler in any moment of this show. It managed to carry you through emotions ranging from deep depression, confusion, happiness, desire for things, for the characters on behalf of them, and the finale, and as late as last week, I did not know how this show was going to wrap up. Mm-hmm. It easily could have found itself in a conundrum of a finale that ruined the show, or a finale that just petered out and left you with a meh feeling at the end of it. So a brilliant build up to nothing. The fact that they, as you guys put it, stuck the landing makes this one of the greatest achievements in television storytelling that I have ever watched.
Or as Brent William Henry says, this show didn't fuck around.
No.
So pretty much summed up what we all were saying there, yeah.
I feel like they just knew what they were doing the whole time, which is, I think, different for... I only watched the first two seasons of Lost, but I feel like, from what I've heard from people, they kind of... A lot of parts were kind of not sure of what they were happening each season, whereas this one, I feel like they knew the whole story before the
beginning. Lost suffered from production stuff, and we don't have time to go into all that. Yeah. But this show, just like the creators knew what they wanted, the network gave them what they wanted, and the show told the story that it was supposed to tell and did no less, no more. And that's The Leftovers.
I agree.
Well, guys, that's going to do it for The Leftovers After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us for the past three seasons, for shooting theories back and forth with us. Continue to do so. We obviously didn't need to go into predictions because there's nothing to predict.
Actually, Emmy for Best Drama. And Carrie Coon's going to win an Emmy, if not for this, but for Fargo.
I think Carrie Coon's, I think the win for drama is tough. Because of how underrated this show is.
HBO positioned this.
But I think Carrie Coon will pull this one out.
Yeah.
HBO positioned this for that award. At least a nomination.
Yes.
It's nomination.
It's the year without Game of Thrones and the Emmys, so they've got a shot. It's going to be our last goodbye at The Leftovers.
I don't think so.
Maybe we'll just start rewatching The Leftovers.
Or we could all, in the fall, cover The Book of Kevin... I'm kidding, guys. That doesn't look very good.
Anyway.
There's a show on...
All right. Well, guys, we had a beautiful moment, and then we got off the rails. but that's us. Thank you guys so much for joining us. I have been your host, Zach Wilson. It's been a pleasure and an honor to do this panel. Thank you to my co-hosts for making it an amazing time as well. Continue to shoot me theories. I want to know which of the three options you guys thought...
Or any
really
fourth.
Happened. Or a fourth that we didn't even think of, because that's even crazier. what did you think? What do you think really happened on the show? Which do you choose to believe? Send it to me on Twitter at @ZachWilson.
Guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and you're going to have to tweet at me. Not even asking, I'm requiring, because I need friends to talk about this with. I need this to keep going. I can't let this show be done yet. So I can't wait to keep the conversation going there. And thank you guys for the past 3 years of the show. You guys have been amazing. And thank every one of you guys. This was awesome.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. And it's going to... Well, I'll see you guys, but also... I'm going to miss you guys. I'm Kelly McInerney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo. Also, I'm going to start the Orphan Black panel next week. So it's another drama. Different, but yeah.
And I'm Steve Goffin. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Goffin. That's KAUFMANN. Special thank you to all of you who are watching, all of you for joining me, and this has been a privilege.
Yeah. All right, guys. This has been The Leftovers After Show at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks for geeking out with us.
We love you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Call it!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.